We've been in a series over the last several weeks where apparently good results are happening because Brent Gillenberg came in declaring, "I've already lost 5 pounds since you started talking about ice cream and whatever it takes, whatever it takes." But we've been in this series called Pre-Decide, with the understanding as we look and talk about the power of decisions. The reason we look at that and understand that is that the quality, as we've stated, the quality of our decisions often determines the quality of our lives because of the consequences and different things that are a part of all of that. But the problem is, in our decisions, that often we tend to make the decisions in the midst of the moment, that we are reactive to the situation, that the emotions tend to kick in with those things, and so we are typically poor decision makers because of that. So instead, we're trying to focus in and help each other in this, that instead of being reactive, that we would be proactive. Meaning that instead of waiting to the midst of the emotions and in the midst of the moment, that we would intentionally seek God ahead of time, that in the midst that we would pre-decide that when these things take place, I will do this. Not based on fear, not based on anything, but understanding that God has, who has created us, has set us apart as his people to live into the values that he is. That we would be his people. Because when we know who we are, we know what to do. And so we've declared that because we understand that Satan, the adversary, is constantly coming at us and trying to disrupt the relationship with us and God, that we have to be ready. That we are going to be consistent in our following of Christ in all things, that we are going to be fully devoted, and that we are going to be irrationally generous. These are just among the values that we've been talking about that represent who God is and who God has called us to be. So as we move into today, a thought or a question came to mind that if I were to ask you if there was one word that would represent you, one word that would summarize what you stand for in life, that you would hope would be used to describe you and your life, what one word would you choose? If we asked men on the street or anybody on the street, but I got a feeling that three primary words would come up. That we would maybe want to be described as successful, influential, or happy. Those would tend to be the words that a lot of people would want to use. And yet, I believe that there is one word in God's eyes that should stand above all the rest. Because when we get to heaven, if we have lived a life that has honored God and has put our trust in God, what God is not going to say is, "Well done, my good and successful servant." God's not going to say, "Well done, my good and influential servant." And he's not even going to say, "Well done, my good and happy servant." What we want to hear from God at that moment as we come face to face with the God of all creation is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." If there's one word that we should desire to stand above the rest in describing our life, it should be faithful. And much like the prior weeks, the reason we need to focus in on this is because we aren't going to become faithful accidentally. We're not just going to suddenly be, "Wow, that just happens without me even thinking about it. Because there's no way day in and day out that we will be consistently faithful without being intentional about it. The reason we find difficulty to be faithful is because the trajectory of life in our world is all about being easy and convenient. And being faithful is never easy and it's rarely convenient. Especially being faithful to God by doing what is right in His eyes and not just the world's. It's hard. It always comes with a cost, and yet it's always worth it. So to establish our tone today, we're going to look at a very short passage among many others, but in Habakkuk 2, in the Old Testament, this minor prophet, Habakkuk 2, and it's verse 4. If you got your notes, I invite you to use those. If you have the app, that's great too. The verse is already pulled up in there for you. Habakkuk 2:4, he declares, "Look at the proud." Now, if you've already put in your mind a person that's proud, and if they're in here, this is not an invitation to point them out. It's not an invitation to elbow them. But Habakkuk here, in the midst of this, he's talking about the Babylonians, but he says, look at them because they trust in themselves. They trust in their own wisdom. They trust in their own knowledge. They trust in their own righteousness. They trust in their own goodness. And they maybe it's in their own bank account. They look and they're so proud because they trust in themselves. And basically they're trusting in their own abilities. And the result is that their lives are crooked. Now I admit, I think we all have prideful tendencies. We all think we want to be to the point that we're good enough, that at least we think we can, that we can do it on our own, and you know, I can be self-sufficient. We teach that to our kids. You know, you want to learn to do these things, and yet Scripture declares in the midst of this grand scheme of things, look at the proud, they trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. So recognizing that we all can have these tendencies to be so self-reliant and looking on these things that we get puffed up as a result, I understand that I have to intentionally decide not to be proud, but instead that I must live in faithfulness to God. So that raises a question for us. If in place of that, look at the proud, that they do this, instead the people righteous of God will live in faithfulness to God, what does it mean to be faithful? How do we live that out in 2022 and beyond? Some would say, well, that means you just don't cheat on your wife, you don't cheat on your taxes, you don't cheat, you know, and you're just an overall good person. That's how many would describe it. And all of those things are not wrong, but they're also not fully right. Because as we look at what Jesus, when he talks about faithfulness, he takes a very different approach to faithfulness than most of us would recognize. In fact, if we did a word study when Jesus is talking about faithfulness in the midst of this world, we see that he tends to go into three different categories. And as we do that, if we're going to be faithful in those areas, then we also need to pre-decide these three things with those areas. First of all, he talks about faithfulness and how we treat others. What that means is that as followers of Christ, wherever you go, every person you meet, everyone you see is an opportunity to bless. It's an opportunity to encourage. It's an opportunity to be generous. It's an opportunity for you to add value to their life. A great word for this would be also the understanding and the concept of shalom. That we would be peace bearers. That we would be found faithful of adding and desiring the best for the other. That every person we would see is an opportunity for us to show the love of God in a way that brings value and blessing to their life. And the reason that that's important and that we have to pre-decide and be intentional is because we will never add value consistently to others by accident because we are so focused on ourselves. Simple example of that is and I'm sure you can do the same. I go to my in-laws' house, and we take family pictures every so often, and there's one hanging up there. I don't know about you, I can't seem to take a good picture. And for some reason, in that particular picture that's up there, I have this, best thing I can say is a constipated look. And I see that picture, and my wife's shaking her head. For some reason, I get in these group pictures like that, and I look at that picture, and I'm like, I wish they wouldn't hang that thing up there. Not because the family is not worth it, not because the people aren't worth it, not because of anything else, but because I have that look, and it's permanently on display. And people take pictures, these group pictures, and the first thing you look at is, where am I in that picture? If it's a good picture, let's post it. If it's not, why are we showing that picture? We tend to look to ourselves and out for ourselves. But what if instead, because Jesus lives in you and has died for you and has laid it all out for you, that we want to pre-decide that every time we interact with someone, that instead of being self-focused, instead we would be focused on declaring through our words and through our actions that I'm going to add value to not my life, but to your life. That I'm going to be a blessing to you in my interactions with you, whether I know you or not, that I want to be a blessing to you because Christ has done so much for me that I want to be faithful in response to God. Amen. And so we even find this in Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, don't let unwholesome talk Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others, for adding value according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That being faithful to God means we add value to people. We walk into a room, the climate improves because you're an encourager. You're someone who's a blessing, and you're always, even when people may not like it, you speak in love. That you bring that into a situation that as a result, the people are going to be blessed simply because you are there. And we see this acted out constantly in Christ's life. You look at what Jesus did and how he treated people. Think about his words and what he did. I mean, in fact, look at, there's the understanding of Matthew chapter 6 where we've been kind of focusing in on throughout this series that when disciples are worried, they're trying to figure things out. And Jesus doesn't say, well, have you looked at the news? Haven't you been seen? It ain't going to get any better. That's not what Jesus says. Instead, he starts to tell them the bigger picture. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or the clothes you're going to wear because your heavenly Father cares about you so much. If he cares about the birds of the of the field and the flowers, you know, that think about how much he cares for you. So don't worry about all those things. Tomorrow has enough worry of its own. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Think about when the woman who had been caught in adultery is brought before Jesus. Jesus' response isn't to shame, you know, saying, "You pathetic woman." And remember, there was a guy involved too. They just don't talk about him. And he didn't turn his back on her. No, instead he knelt down in the sand and starts writing something. We don't know what it was, but what we do know is that the self-righteous men who brought her to Jesus, trying to trap Jesus, read it, turned, and walked away. And Jesus looks up at this woman, and he asks her, "Where are your accusers?" And her response is, "Well, they left." And with love in his heart, he declares, "Well, neither do I accuse you or even condemn you. But as you leave, go and sin no more." Peter has denied Jesus. Jesus knows it. He had declared that it was going to happen. Even before, and Peter in his self-righteousness, "No, I would never deny you. I'll go down to death." And yet he does. And Jesus dies and is resurrected and encounters Peter. And he doesn't dismiss Peter. He doesn't declare, "Well, I can't trust you anymore." No, he says, "Peter, do you love me? Then go feed my sheep. Go do my will. Go show my love." Later, he comes back to the group and he says, "I came to show you the love of my Father. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In fact, you are going to do greater things than I, because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit upon you. That God will be running through your life in this way." And so in every interaction that we have with others, we are called to show the love of God. That we are called to build up others. We're called to show grace and be God's grace. We're called to be a blessing, because here's the thing. You have no idea how that word of encouragement that you bring to someone else, how that might impact their life. And so in faithfulness to God, we pre-decide, we think ahead and decide that every interaction with a person is going to be an opportunity to show love and to be a blessing and to add value. The second category of faithfulness that Jesus tended to talk about was how we steward resources. That as a result, we should intentionally pre-decide that every resource is an opportunity to multiply. Not in the Ebenezer Scrooge kind of way, but understanding that in fact, in Matthew 25, Jesus tells this parable about a man, a rich man who's going, he's a king, he's going on a trip, he's going to be away for a while, and so I'm going to trust my servants to do what is necessary. So he gives them bags of gold. So the first one he gives gave five bags. The second one he gives two, and this other one he gives one. Well, the first two go out, and they invest it. The king comes back and he needs a report. And he says, "Well," he comes to the first one who had five bags, and I've got you 10. The second one, He says, well, you gave me two, and I've now got four. And the master replied, well done. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'm going to now put you in charge of many. They multiplied what was given. And in the kingdom of God, that is faithfulness. In fact, the Greek word here that's translated as faithful is this word pistos, which refers to this idea of a person who shows themselves faithful in the transactions of life, the execution or commands, and the discharge of their duties. There's this expectation that what you are blessed with, you will use. So maybe it's as simple as this. That we can be faithful to God simply by caring for what we have instead of just throwing it away or hiding it away. That by multiplying it, that God, maybe he blesses you with an ugly yard and you say, I can put myself into this and make it better. Maybe it's something as, man, I've got a clunker that I get to drive. But I have this car, and it's going to be the best clunker on the road that I can make it be. Maybe it's God has given you this body. Instead of neglecting it, we're going to take care of it. That's versions of faithfulness to God for the resources that we've been given. That as we work, we understand that what we do, we've been blessed with the skills and the talents to be able to do, that we can multiply it and use it as a resource to further the kingdom. And as a result, we're able to bless someone else. So as we work, we earn, we become good leaders, and we lead with integrity. In that faithfulness to God, that we multiply those resources, because as we do so, then we can also lead the way with a rational generosity, as we talked about last week. Because it's honoring God that we multiply and steward what he gives us. And Jesus says that's faithfulness. But then there's also the other side of that story in Matthew. There's the one steward who had been given a bag, and he was afraid. He says, sir, I know you're a harsh man, and you deal with things harshly. So I was afraid, and I took care. I didn't want to lose what you gave me, so I hid it away. He buried it. And I kind of feel for this guy. Because I admit, there are times in my life where I've been afraid to make a mistake so I wouldn't risk investing and doing the things that would have improved and done these things. And watch what the master says to him. He says, I was afraid, I went out, I hid your gold in the ground, but here's what belongs to you. And the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. At least if you would have tried, that would have been faithfulness. Here's what I want you to see in the midst of this, and what we need to feel is that to the one who multiplied what was given, the master said, you are faithful. To the one who buried it, who hid it, he declared, that's wicked and lazy. That we need to choose to be faithful, that every interaction we add value, every resource is an opportunity to multiply. But also, this last category of faithfulness, I'd say probably this is the most important, it's how we respond to God. What I mean by that is that we understand in being faithful, that we understand that every prompting is an opportunity to obey God. Acts 20, verse 22. Paul is happy where he is. He's in Ephesus. He's got his church going. He's having this emotional farewell because he understands that he is being compelled by the Spirit. The words in the Greek are deohonam, which means that he's been wrapped up. It's as if he'd been tied up with cords. He's being taken. He's being drawn out of what he knows to be a secure situation, and he's being taken somewhere else. He says, I can't resist it, that I'm going to Jerusalem, not because I know what is going to happen, but because God is calling me to go there now. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I know that God is calling me, and I know that when you follow Jesus, he is going to prompt you to do some things. And your job and my job in these promptings is, I can't always explain it. I may not always understand it. All I know is that I need to follow Jesus when he prompts me. And he'll compel us, and our faithfulness is found in our response to those promptings. Because the spiritual principle in all of this is, obedience is our responsibility, the outcome is God's. Whether it be in relation to the people, the things, the overall response to God is obedience. That we understand it's all God's. This is faithfulness. Sometimes maybe you'll see the reason, and other times you won't, but we're going to pre-decide to be faithful. Because what I want you to understand is, God is going to put someone or something on your heart, and you may not fully understand why. And our first response is, whoa, God, I don't know. But overall, we understand that we need to think about that it is God's first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added in as well. Maybe it's this. I've had these opportunities, and I wish I could say I was faithful in every single one, but I try to be. But you will have promptings in your life where you realize, I need to call that person. Maybe it's someone you haven't thought of in a long time. Maybe it's a prompting of, you know what? There was a time where you did such and such, and you understand, I need to call and ask for forgiveness. Maybe it's a prompting to text, to call, to do. I don't know. But your job is to be obedient to that prompting. And I don't know who this is for, but I want you to hear it. You'll often overestimate what you think you can do in a season of life. You know, maybe how you can change your marriage in this little season, how you can make an impact in this, you know, little season of your job, maybe how you can improve financially, how you can grow spiritually. But you will never overestimate, you know, the value of what God can do. You'll overestimate what you can do in the short run, but you will vastly underestimate what God can do in a life of faithfulness. When you're faithful with a little, God will trust you with much. So in desiring to be faithful to God, I'm pre-deciding, I'm proactively thinking and praying and understanding that God is calling me to more, that I can be faithful to add value in my relationships, that I can be a faithful steward and multiply what God is blessing me with, and that I'm faithful to obey even the smallest of promptings, because that's how the righteous live by faith to God. Our part is to be faithful. God's part is the results. Maybe it's to invite someone to church. Understand, I know how, you know, we're into a relationship of just talking about Scripture. Well, I don't want to go too far. No. Often we stop before we ask because we already assume they're going to say no. The thing is, it's not, the results are not your responsibility. the obediences. Maybe it's talking with that family member. Maybe it's that financial issue. I don't know what it is. The faithfulness is found in obedience. The results is God's. Doesn't mean we do it stupidly, but we are called to be faithful because the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Every interaction is an opportunity. Every resource is an opportunity. And every prompting is an opportunity to be faithful. As the band comes up, Father, may we be found faithful. May this church, may the people within it, followers of you, be found faithful. Faithful to understanding that you've loved us first when we were unlovable. And so out of that, I will love. That you forgave me first, so I will forgive. You extended grace to me, so I will extend grace to others. That you have blessed me first with all these resources and things, that I would use them not just to store them up for myself, but instead to give back to you, for they are yours. That I will use them wisely. That God, in the promptings of my day this week and onward, that I would be found faithful to obeying you. Maybe it's a simple phone call, a text, or I see someone across the way, that I will follow in obedience to you. Because my obedience is a demonstration of faith.